Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Peter Todelbin, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today, I'm joined in the studio by my confreres, Father Stephen Alcott and Father Stephen Dominic Hayes. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today, we're talking about confession. And specifically, we're talking about the idea of how to make a better confession, and in particular, how to come to a better examination of conscience and improve that aspect of going to confession. But maybe we can pull it out more generally and talk about just general sort of ideas and suggestions for confession that we have, and then focus on examinations of conscience specifically. So
I'm a full-time mission preacher.
Yeah.
So I sit a lot in the confessional.
Absolutely.
And I hear all kinds of confessions, including many times people who haven't been in a long time.
Yeah.
So I have to explain what the sacrament is to them, like,
sure,
really quick. So I usually do it, I have one part in the confession, you have three parts, okay? Your spirit, soul, and body, St. Paul says. This works by grace, moving to word, moving to deeds. We need contrition in the heart, confession on the lips, and a changed life indeed, following the path of Christ in his holy church.
Sure.
And then you get the absolution. But the problem is I frequently find people who don't know how to make a confession, who confess at 60 as if they were 10 years old.
Sure.
And this is, I think, something that's really very useful and necessary. So in terms of and many times people are in the confessional before they actually think of what they're going to say.
Sure, absolutely.
And so it needs to be, as you say, an examination of the conscience. But I would say the first thing I would make is a difference between the confession of obligation and the confession of devotion.
Sure.
In the confession of obligation, this is a confession that you need to make because you've committed post-baptismal serious sin, that it would deliberately. So mortal sin, serious matter. You knew it was a serious matter. You gave your full consent to it. And for that, you need the name of the sin and the number of times it's been committed to the best of your ability. If it's only venial sin, if you're regular, come to the confession regularly and working, I would say, since all your venial sins, confessed or not confessed, are remitted in the absolution, then the only thing you really need to talk about is what you're working on today.
Sure.
To focus on maybe your principal fault.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, for the other one, you really need to review the list of sins. Have you been away for a while?
Absolutely.
And maybe somebody else can talk.
Yeah. General tips for making a good confession. Father Stephen Alcott, do you have some?
Sure. This may sound obvious, but I think, when we talk about examination of conscience, our conscience is that faculty, that part of us that tends to convict us of certain things. Our conscience can be wrong. We could have an oversensitive conscience where we convict ourselves of things that are not really sins. We could have a dull conscience, which means that, our conscience isn't sensitive enough. We've done something seriously wrong and don't fully appreciate what we've done. But for most people, I think the first place we look is just what's in our heart. Mm-hmm. What in my heart is telling me, that I know I need to bring to God. I know I need to bring into his light that he may purge that sin, wash it away by the power of his blood, and welcome me to a new beginning.
Sure.
So to me, that's, and often that's where, that's the kind of thing that would bring someone to confession to begin with.
Sure.
If they didn't have that sense that they need forgiveness, they might not be there unless someone is twisting their arm. So,
yeah.
So that's at least to start, to think what's on your heart, quite literally.
Yeah.
What is out of control? Mm-hmm. Where is your life unmanageable? Where is a combination of willpower and energy not working? Sometimes this is what causes. Now, you won't enter the confessional, I don't think, unless the Holy Spirit is at your back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who are not interested in forgiveness of God don't show up in the confessional. But mm-hmm. I would say that's the first thing. And that is always. And so in terms of looking at your sins, I think, where am I trying to. I mean, I think pride is the first thing that we should always look at. Where is my will? Where is it my will? I want what I want, what I want. And where is, and how is that affecting other things? Because you have to commit, it's the first of the capital sins. You have to commit it on the way to committing any other sin. If I want to lie, I have to commit an act of pride first. And sometimes I think, in the root of things, the bigger problem is with the unconfessed sin.
Hmm.
You know, people may mention, oh, I've been lying a lot, you know. But what's at the bottom of that? What's at the bottom of mm-hmm. that? You have to dig deeper, maybe, when you're making a good examination of conscience. Just not a laundry list of, you know, A is mortal, column A is mortal sins, column B is venial sins. They don't have to worry about the venial sins. Sometimes the venial sins are telling you there's something out of control in a more deep and profound way.
I think that that's one of the features of actually going to confession regularly. Sorry, of course, you know, the church requires us to go to confession once a year during the Easter season if our sins are serious, so that we can receive Holy Communion during the Easter season worthily. But that's not enough. It would be really good if we go to confession, you know, once a month, once every couple weeks, because what ends up happening is there's a teaching of the Holy Spirit where we begin to start doing that. Right, where we begin to start seeing, like, okay, these are the sins, these are the predominant faults. What's behind that? You know, we go from like, you know, I'm lying, I'm impatient, I'm all this, to being able to say, wow, there's a deep selfishness that underlies everything mm-hmm. that I'm doing. That's not something that we get to right away, right? That's a victory that the Holy Spirit wins in us.
Hmm.
And it's actually something I've actually seen hearing confessions, is you'll get people who will have these realizations and they'll be really down on themselves. Right. And a lot of times what you have to do is to explain to people, like, when you have a realization like that, that's actually a good thing.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So some people will like have this and they'll be like, really like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? And I'll be like, no. This is actually the sign that the Holy Spirit is doing something profound in your life mm-hmm. because they've opened up something so that it can be healed. Mm-hmm. You're not doing something wrong. You're doing something right. But people actually discover this the more they start going to confession habitually. Right.
Right. Because you're more sensitive to it. I mean, one sense, you know, we're both carnal and spiritual beings. You know, we're fleshly and spiritual. And the carnal sins often will throw us into the position where we feel hopeless and out of control. The problem with the spiritual sins is they're much more subtle poison.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I think more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may commit a sin, some guy commits a sin of pornography and he's too ashamed of it to go to confession. Well, the first sin put him on the road to hell and the second sin is keeping him on that road.
Sure.
You know, whereas if you let the shame work itself through, oh, I'm not in control, I keep doing what I hate, following St. Paul's words, I really need the grace of the confessional. I need and kill pride with that humility, which is a correct vision of myself under God, and you will be able to find healing. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas says, "Humilitas veritas."
Yeah.
Humility is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually such a wonderful release and peace that actually comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, I can just finally stop pretending.
Mm-hmm.
I can just kneel down here and just say the things.
And no repercussions.
Yeah. And what's the response?
Mm-hmm.
I absolve you.
Right.
That's wonderful.
It's a grace that is shaped for the individual soul, the grace of confession, whatever is ailing you.
Yeah.
In some ways, I mean, if we are made in the image and likeness of God, who is love, and Christ is the perfect example of this,
mm-hmm.
then he becomes a model on an anthropological, a theological anthropology that we can move towards, that we can look at
mm-hmm.
And see what humility looks like. And all the other rightly ordered loves, whereas all our sins in one sense are the fruit of disordered love, a love that I loved my own will too much. I love myself so much I can't enjoy the other person's good in envy. You know, I love too hotly in anger. I love not warmly enough in sloth. Mm-hmm. You know, that I love precious shiny things way too much in avarice. That I love things that pertain to my body and person too much in gluttony. I am bound by my disordered desire for relationships that are unhealthy in one way or another in lust.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the capital sins, the sins that all other sins flow from.
So you're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Peter Todelbin, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott and Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, my confreres. And we're talking about confession and examinations of conscience. You know, how do we do this better? And I think that the first way that we do this better is just by doing it a lot. So examining your conscience is a skill. And like any skill, you just do it bad. When your dad took the training wheels off your bike, you fell over a lot, right? That's just what you did. When you start shooting free throws and started shooting baskets, you missed a lot. And then you started missing less and falling over less. Well, any skills like that, including examining our conscience. The way to get good at it is to do it and to not be scared of falling, not to be scared of missing, but just to do it. And we can again trust that the Holy Spirit, our interior teacher, is helping us. So Father Stephen Alcott, what do you think about, like, if you wanted to teach people how to examine their conscience better, what are some things that you think, tips that you can give just in terms of people confessing successfully or unsuccessfully or, you know, struggling to do the sacrament well?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're just looking at, you know, say it's been a while and you think, well, I know I need to go to confession. I don't know where to start.
Sure.
I think you can start, as I said, like what's on your heart? What is the Holy Spirit convicting you of in your heart? You know, if you want to go beyond that, you can look at, like, the Ten Commandments are based on the two great commandments, love of God and love of neighbor. You know, have I loved God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Mm-hmm. Have I loved my neighbor as myself? You know, and then you can branch out further into the Ten Commandments. You know, the first three commandments have to do with honoring God. The last seven have to do with taking care of our neighbor. And I think you can go further than that. You know, there's some great guides. A lot of parishes have a guide, examination of conscience, that gives lots of other examples of those. They usually follow the Ten Commandments. So that gets you at least to know what your sins are objectively. But I liked what, you know, the other you friars were saying about, you know, as you continue to go to confession, it's good to look, you know, what is the root? You know, what are the things that I keep struggling with, and what is it that keeps bringing me back? And sometimes I realize, okay, well, there is something down there that I've uncovered that really needs healing, that's a lot more stubborn, you know, to pull out, you know. But again, as you said, Father Peter, I think while we might be discouraged when we come to that really stubborn root that won't come out easily, you know, it's actually something good. You know, I tell people, it's like if you're out in the wilderness, say hiking, you know, and you just have a map and a compass, but suddenly you realize you're way off track. You've lost the trail. It's getting dark. You have no idea where you are, you know, and then you have you look at study your map and take a bearing on your compass. And then you realize, okay, now I know exactly where I am. Now, in one sense, you know, at that moment, you're not one step closer to home than you were 2 minutes before.
And you're probably feeling nervous and panicked when you first realize it, right?
But in another sense, you're already halfway home.
Yeah.
Because from that point on, that examination of your bearing, you know, might use it as a metaphor for examination of conscience. You know, just examine your conscience, it might reveal something. Oh, I got to go over that mountain, you know. But at least every step you go in the right direction is a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't know that, one step in one direction is one step further away, you know. So I think it's good to realize when we have found those things that are at the root of those of our struggles, that we can confess. And even if we have to keep confessing them, that's okay. You know, as long as we have that purpose of amendment and just invite Christ to to heal us of those things.
But this is can't be just wishful thinking. True. And this is one of those areas that is, frankly, a hobby horse of mine, and that is the firm purpose of amendment.
Right.
Okay, a firm purpose of amendment means you leave the confessional with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
How, okay, this is my sin, this is the pattern of it, how am I going to change what I'm doing? Because wishful thinking is not sufficient here.
Right.
What we need is a plan. So if I would do what if I have a particular favorite sin, how am I not going to commit this the next time? Right. What can I do? If, for instance, you know, like a physical temptation, usually is a good thing. Rule for it is flee the place. You know, first thing is when I'm tempted this way in the future, I will get out of Dodge. If the computer is a problem for me, I'm getting out of the room with the computer. And we'll see how this works. When I come to confession in another month, we can see how things worked if they didn't work. We can continue working on this in a practical way. If this plan didn't work, we'll get another plan. And this is why I think, and if priests are listening here, although the confessional is not a place for extended spiritual direction, it is in fact the only place where the individual Catholic gets an opportunity to access the wisdom of the church in these matters through the priest.
Absolutely.
So at least something small, something, a push in the right direction, a clearing the way. This is tremendously helpful to the penitent.
Sure. So this is great stuff. So we have a lot of great suggestions. So the first thing is, you feel like you need to go to confession for a reason. Well, there's your first point of the examination of conscience. Well, like what's driving you to the confessional? You can flesh that out with looking at the Ten Commandments and the Great Commandment, right? Little by little by little, you learn how to go from the Ten Commandments down to the things that's driving you to break those commandments, right? And then we have the ability to formulate a plan of action, right, for amendment of life.
The capital sins.
Right.
And the lively virtues that oppose them.
Yeah. Another place
I like to quote Bishop Barron.
Yeah. Another place I like to do, because sometimes people come to confession and they don't know what to confess. You know, oh, by the way, if you haven't been to confession and you're like, oh my gosh, this sounds so complicated. You know, all you just have to do, just tell the priest you need help. Priests love to walk you through this, right?
Amen.
Priests feel like fathers in the confessional. They just, they love it. They're not going to be harsh to everything. They think it's great. So just come in and be like, I don't know. Could you just walk me through it? And one of the things I like to ask people about is their relationships, right? So like, okay, well, like your spouse. Have you hurt your spouse? Or, you know, are there things in your family life that you've done that you're not proud of? How about at work, your coworkers, your boss? You know, have you always been honest and upright? You know, so I like to ask people about their relationships. So if you're looking for other ways to examine your conscience, be like, well, how are my relationships damaged? How have I damaged the different relationships that I'm in? And why do I damage them that way? That's another great source for an examination of conscience.
Yeah. And not to fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if the priest yells at you in the confessional, he's not following the book.
Yeah.
Okay. There's nowhere in the book where it says I'm supposed to yell at the penitent.
Oh yeah.
And if you weep, if your voice cracks, don't worry about it, because many times on the other side of the screen, I'm weeping as well as I listen to stories. You know, but come, don't be afraid. You know, if you come with no sins, you'll leave with no sins. If you come with venial sins, you'll leave with no sins. If you come up with a weight of unconfessed, you know, shameful mortal sin, you leave with no sins, not because of anything you did or didn't do, but because the Lord loves you and shed his blood for you. It's the power of that blood that cleanses you from sin.
I think that's an important thing to realize, too. Like, some people are scared. What you think the priest is thinking when he's hearing your confession, that's usually not what he's actually thinking. I actually never believed this until, like, I actually switched to the other side of the screen. Like, I was like, clearly, you know, like, I give, you know, and I have my same confession. I basically could give you, like, I just wrote it down and got it laminated, and you're just, you know, it's the same thing over and over again. And I, like, clearly, I'm thinking, clearly this guy thinks I'm like a such and such. And they say, oh, no, we don't think that. I'm like, oh, yeah, right. You know, but then when I switched to the other side of the screen, you know, I've never felt anything. Most of the time when I hear confessions, I'm thinking about how the penitents are actually like kind of holier than I am. And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm looking at these guys. And like when I see somebody, cause when you confess your sins, whatever your sin was, confessing it is an act of virtue. Penance and repentance is a virtue. And so when you're in the box, you're being virtuous. And so the privilege of a priest is actually that he gets to watch you being virtuous, and he gets to watch the Lord at work in your life. And usually we're just sitting there like, oh my gosh, if only I could repent this well. That's mm-hmm. or at least that's right. what I'm usually thinking.
Yeah, sure.
You know, mm-hmm. if only I could repent that well. Or I'm usually thinking like, oh my gosh, I've been doing that sin for years. Now I've even thought of confessing. I probably should confess that myself. You know, so usually, you know, we have nothing but thoughts of compassion. And that's not just a story that we tell you to get you to come. It's really true.
Right.
One of the things that I frequently get asked is, Father, how can you possibly hear all those confessions? What about the weight of those sins? Aren't you disappointed in people? And I say, no, I've never actually felt that. I mean, I joke with the people when I'm preaching to them. I said, you know, we mission preachers get two gifts at ordination, asbestos ears and short-term memory.
Asbestos ears.
Okay? And the great thing about being a mission preacher, I'm in town this week and I'm not in town next week. You know,
yeah. mm-hmm.
So if you have business that's you find messy, bring it to me.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, you know, Peter, that there's nothing. I mean, my thoughts usually are, I mean, it's like doing open heart surgery and watching the most expert open heart surgeon in the world, Jesus Christ, working with a heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and even mm-hmm. if that heart, you know, people start weeping, and they do, you know, that's compunction. Feeling pierced through for your sins comes with a certain yeah. joy of elation.
Yeah.
And the priest feels that too. I mean, I get to see the working yeah. Holy Spirit yeah. in those souls. As I said, you don't come into the yeah. confessional unless the Holy Spirit's blowing at your back.
The reason why it's not oppressive to hear sins is because you're not just hearing sins as mm-hmm. such.
Right.
What you're hearing in confessions is you're hearing people longing for holiness and people mm-hmm. longing for God. And
conversion.
I mean, and the way they're expressing their longing for God is by mm-hmm. talking about everything that's holding them back. But more fundamentally, what they're saying than their sins is more fundamentally, they're saying how they're longing for God. And that's actually how you know that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Because what's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is personal love of God. And love is an impulse.
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Grace. Spirit is an impulse in your heart, and it's driving you towards something. So how do you know? I mean, like, your life's all messed up. You have all this stuff going on, right? And we all have all this stuff going on. But like, how do you know that God is already working in your life? It's the very fact that you want it, right? The Holy Spirit is already there, and you know he's there because he's making you want good things. That's the first thing that the Holy Spirit does. And when you're in the confessional, you get to talk to the priest about how you want good things for your life from God.
And the priest gets to see a penitens in front of him.
Yeah.
And that, like the Latin, it's an active participle. You know, you get to see the turning towards God and away from sin in yeah. front of you. And in fact, I have to see that if I'm going to give absolution. Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to encourage people. I say that, you know, for every sin that you confess, you're confessing it because God has put a desire in your heart
absolutely.
For the good.
Yeah.
You know, like you were saying, Father Steve and Dominic, you know, there are the capital sins, but there are also those virtues that mm-hmm. that oppose them and pull you out of them. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about some examples of those.
Well, as I said, a quick reference for those, because I think we haven't too much time left. But Bishop Barron has an excellent CD out on this. It's called The Capital Sins and the Lively Virtues.
Hmm.
And I was just listening to it in the car the other day. You know? But it's wonderful. It's a wonderful opposition. He uses the Purgatorio of Dante to talk about the seven capital sins, a seven-story mountain, which I never got as a Thomas Merton reference as well. But pride to humility. You've got envy with admiration, anger with to name them all off is going to take us more time than we have.
Mm-hmm.
But these virtues, you know, a general principle of virtue is that if you have a vice, you practice the opposite virtue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as I said, for pride, it's humility. You know, if pride is, I want my will, I want my will, I want my will, then humility is, I never do my own will. I always ask God what his will is, and then I do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
You don't assume. Cause sometimes we do that.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of things like, avarice, you know, I mean, one way to get rid of avarice is generosity. You know, mm-hmm. if my problem is I like all the shiny toys, then clean out your closet on a regular basis. Do something. If you are ungenerous, if you are slothful, if you're slow about spiritual matters, then make it your business to book an appointment where you actually give of yourself to someone else.
Yeah.
Spiritually.
It's a great, great advice. We talk about practical advice, and we talk about making plans. Agere contra, to act against, is a great way to at least start formulating
right.
a plan.
Yeah, exactly. Zeal for the mission. Zeal for the mission that you have from God. If you don't know what your mission is, ask him, and he'll show it to you. A good way to practice this is by looking at the spiritual and corporal works of mercy, which we all had to learn in confirmation, but I don't recall ever being discussed in any detail. But see what, try a variety of these things. Instruct the ignorant, work at a soup kitchen, feed the sick, clothe the naked, visit somebody in some kind of a prison. A nursing home can be a prison in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And to practice these things and see where the Lord seems to be leading you. Little by little, as you practice, as you take the Christian life seriously, as the truth we receive in faith, we put our hope in Christ and then act in his love, which is the penitent life, we'll move in the right direction. And we'll find our mission. We'll find our purpose. We'll find Christ.
It's all great stuff. Great stuff. So we all have lots of things to think about as we all exercise our striving towards the Lord and make use of this great sacrament that God gives us to bring about a real conversion of heart. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Peter Tottleben. I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus, and I've been joined today in the studio by my confreres, Father Stephen Alcott and Father Stephen Dominic Hayes. And now let us end in prayer. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity,
freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom,
preacher of grace, unite us to the blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni, Sancti.